Oh, well, here we are. First podcast. Don't even have a name for it yet. Just going to give it a go. I guess a bit of a disclaimer. It's not a family-friendly podcast. There will be swearing because I think just having legitness of people talking in their own language is good. So, yeah, not a family-friendly podcast. Not sure of a name yet. You'll see it on the title, I suppose. We'll figure it out. I actually want to do a podcast for a while, but I'm not very good at talking, I don't feel, so. but I've met Brad a while ago now, I suppose, through social media and all that and other channels, and the first time we had a phone call, we had yarns for like 4 or 5 hours or something about YouTube, so I thought, what a better person to start it off with. So Brad from Red Dust Adventures, how are you, bro?
Good, mate, good. I'm happy to be here. Yep. I feel like a bit of a test dummy, I guess you'd say. But that's good. Like, I've never done a podcast before, so yeah, it's a bit of exciting adventure, I guess.
Yeah,
I'm glad that you've chosen me to talk shit with, mate. I'm good.
Oh, it's just good, I guess, having it's just you're a very legit bloke and no sort of bullshit, so some I don't know. It's good. We had good yarns. I've enjoyed them, so we might as well record them so other people can hear us talking shit of space. I've got a bit of a list of questions, rough topics. I'm sure, like we've discussed before, we're going to end up just doing our own thing anyway. But so I guess we'll start at the start. Like, where did you sort of grow up? What area did you know?
So, yeah, well, my childhood, mate, I grew up in a little country town called Healesville. It's probably well known to some people as the Healesville Century. It's actually quite a big town nowadays. It's not the small little country town that I grew up in some 40-odd years ago. And we spent basically our whole growing up days, Tallangi State Forest, Vic High Country, full driving, camping, fishing, motorbike riding, all the stuff that I still do today at 50 years of age. So it was a pretty cool spot to grow up, to be honest with you. And I grew up there with me mum and my stepdad. So, yeah, no, it was wicked. It was a good place to grow up.
Yeah, I definitely want to get over there sometime. It seems like an awesome little spot. And it's, yeah, I'll get over there one day. But so obviously that, being in that area, is that where you sort of got into forward driving? Like, is that just naturally, that's what people do over there, or?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, Tallangi's renowned for tough tracks. I know a lot of other people that have got YouTube channels and that, you know, they talk about Tallangi State Forest. We used to be up there every weekend. The house that we grew up in had all open fires, or open fireplaces, so that's what we relied on to keep warm in the colder months, and it gets bloody cold down there. So, yeah, we spent a lot of time up there just getting wood on the weekends, and it was essentially a process of head up by the Friday night and just camp. Saturday would be just fishing, a little bit of fall driving, doing some tracks, and then Sunday would be get a load of wood, chuck it on the trailer and drive home and spend the afternoon unloading it and stacking it, and then do it all again the next weekend. So it was a pretty cool way to grow up, to be honest with you. Obviously, once we grew up and sort of, become teenagers, our life slightly changed a little bit, went off course, and we became teenagers and rat bags. But, yeah, as a kid, yeah, that was essentially what we did. And we spent a lot of time in the high country, Walhalla, Lacola, Jamison, Marysville, Mansfield, all these sort of places, you know, Big River, Eildon, Bonnie Doon, all these places that, we used to go up there and just enjoy life. Like, it was pretty sick growing up, to be honest with you.
Yeah. It's a similar way, because I grew up down Manjimup, down bottom of WA here, and that was, got all the Jarrah Forest. That was, I guess, a big memory growing up, was getting firewood, and I don't know, it's cool, I reckon, getting out with the fam and chopping wood and, you know, carting wheelbarrows around and all that sort of stuff. And so did you meet your partner over there or back in WA?
No, so funny story, and look, I mean, it's a story I've told plenty of times before. So both Faye and I have both been married and divorced, and we actually met each other. I had a local pub where at the particular time, I was living on my own, just me and my dog, and some good friends invited me to join them Christmas Eve, 20 years ago, for drinks Christmas Eve. And I went down to my local pub with some friends, and at that particular time, I was single and running amok and doing some cool stuff. And this particular pub that I used to frequent on a Friday and Saturday night, they had a band there that used to play one Midnight Oil song each weekend. And I grew up sort of loving Midnight Oil and that sort of thing. And I had me sort of Peter Garrett dance sort of down pat. And I used to just get up. I got up once and I did me Peter Garrett dance. And, I just sort of became a little bit of a legend on Friday night. If, you know, if they started playing Midnight Oil, they'd call me up and I'd get on stage and I'd do me dance and everyone would get around and have a bit of a blast and then off I'd go again. And so this particular night, that band was playing on Christmas Eve and, called me up and said, you know, and my nickname growing up was Gecko. And, Gecko, you in the building? And, and I was like, nah, I'm not doing it tonight, I'm not doing it. And, all my mates are just get up there. So I got up, I did my Peter Garrett dance. It was only about sort of 20-odd people, maybe 30 people in the pub. It was a pretty quiet night, to be honest. And, I got up and did my dance. And just so happens, Fee was there with a couple of friends, seen me dancing, took a liking to it, and basically come and introduced herself. And funny story, she came over, she went to the bar, grabbed a permanent marker and from the bar staff and come over to me in front of all my mates and just said, I wonder if I can get an autograph. And I was just like, bit weird, like, it's a hot-looking chick. Hit me up for an autograph, and I'm thinking, it didn't click to me. And she said, I just wondering if you can sign Peter Garrett. And I just had a laugh and, happy days. And she offered to buy me a drink and basically sat at the bar till closing time. We got kicked out and basically Christmas Day the next day, she rang me at lunchtime and said, do you want to catch up? Had a great night last night, and we've basically been inseparable since. I think I moved in with her. Because I was just living in a little one-bedroom unit on my own with a dog, and would have only been maybe 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks tops, I moved in with her. She was on a five-acre block not far away from me with a couple of horses and and a dog and a four-bedroom house. And, me and my dog moved in there. And basically I think it was, wouldn't have been long, mate. Would have been 4 or 5 months later. She had a work trip to Fiji. We went over to Fiji. I met her over there. I flew over a week later. We went out on this island. We did a bit of snorkeling and did a carry on, and she went up on the beach just to do some sunbaking. I was doing some snorkeling. I seen this shell shaped like a ring on the bottom of the ocean. I swam down, I picked it up. I swam over. I crawled up the beach on my hands and knees and asked her to marry me about 4 months later. She said yes. The rest is history. We've had a couple of beautiful daughters and, been together for 20-odd years. So, we grew up in similar ways. She did very similar. She was a bit of a surfer and that back in the day. Grew up, spent a lot of time in Torquay and that with family. Just great Aussie family and very similar interests. And we just hit it off, mate. And we've been best mates outside of being husband and wife, girlfriend and boyfriend, whatever. We've been best mates since the day we met. So it's been an amazing ride with her. She's a handful. I'll give her that. But she's a legend. She's absolutely awesome, mate.
Oh, I guess that's just all women, isn't it? Sorry, guys. But I want to touch on that too with your doing your YouTube. It's awesome to watch when you're traveling around and filming and all that sort of stuff that you're just best mates. It's not, you're not there for the filming. You're just out there enjoying life, enjoying your trip, enjoying your fishing, whatever you're doing, and you're just doing it with your best mate. And I reckon that's a big thing. It's cool to see.
100%. And look, I mean, I think that's the key for us, mate. Essentially with the YouTube is, I mean, obviously if you're setting up cameras in some way, shape or form, it is sort of, I guess, you know, stage, plotted, whatever you want to call it. But I think our style is just about just chucking the camera up there. And we're learning, mate, and it's an amazing thing to learn with your partner. Just because we feed off each other, and don't get me wrong, we sort of have our little debates about different stuff and where we should put a camera and how we should do it and what we should do and so on. But essentially, we just want to capture us having an amazing time together, and we're really enjoying the journey. It's pretty cool to do all the things you love in life. I know a lot of lads do lads trips and all the rest of it. I've never done that. And sort of just not how I grew up. Essentially it's always been family. And then obviously when I was sort of on my own and I met Fee, and it's just became me and Fee for a long time until the kids were born. And then the kids have just grown up around it. Essentially how I grew up is how my kids have grown up. So they've done some amazing traveling. We moved away from our family pretty much when our 19-year-old daughter was born. We pretty much moved away, and then Chelsea's born up in Queensland, and we've essentially just been the four of us, obviously and our dogs, but been the four of us basically the whole kids' lives. So we're pretty close. We're a pretty close knit family, and we've done some cool stuff. We've done some cool stuff together. It's been amazing. It's been cool.
Yeah, I think that's as you know, that was with another channel for a while, and then now I'm by myself, but it's sort of, I actually enjoy it a lot more, being able to do it with Shannon, my partner. It's, I don't know, it's just, we love camping naturally anyway, and it's, it does, like you say, it's a bit of work, so it does ruin it to an extent, which I was going to talk about later anyway, but, it's just cool being able to do it with you. You naturally like to do it anyway. Obviously the cameras is, like Shannon's got, like major camera friendly, like still getting used to it, and won't talk or anything that much, but I throw it. Yeah. But yeah, it's just awesome being able to do it with your partner, and it's just a natural thing. You're not, you know, presenters, or it's just real life, you know, you're just out there doing the trip, like most of the videos I've done are just trips and doing anyway, and you're just capturing the moments and the adventure and all the shit that happens, and
Oh, look, and I think we've spoken about it in a couple of our yarns. Pardon me. The feeling you get when you're with your partner, or for people that do it solo or with their best mates or whatever. When you're with someone that you enjoy their company, it's just so much easier. Like, it doesn't feel like it's hard work. It just, you're having a bit of fun. And, I mean, again, you know, we've spoken about it, mate. There's a part of it that just needs to be time out, just go and chill with your missus, because we love to do that too. And then there's time where, like, I want to do a bit of filming and enjoy it, but I think trying to find that mix, we've found just recently a bit challenging, where we've just said, I just can't be bothered, just want to just go and chill out, like, just have time out. And I know, like, I'm tipping this podcast, mate, we will just run off track a fair bit. We'll be off track, on track, off track, on track. Because that's how we yarn. Like, we just start yarning and we get halfway into a topic and we just ramble on about that for a bit, and then we'll just like, well, what were we talking about? We'll go back to that. So, I think just watching you guys, watching your previous stuff to your newer stuff with you and the misso, it's definitely different. You're a character. You're an absolute character, and I think Shannon sort of feeds off you, and yous are actually, for a better word, a bit cute together, mate. It's cool to watch, because it's I was saying to you the other day, some of the looks when Shannon just sort of looks over like, really? Like, because obviously, you are the character in the couple, but, we love it. We sort of sit there and piss ourselves laughing. It's gold, and I think that's what attracts people. I mean, for us, mate, the channels we follow, it's not always the exact stuff that, you know, I guess we'd follow, but it's the people. We sort of really, I guess, gravitate to the people more so than the content sometimes, because I think if you can relate to the people, their content's good anyway. When you're watching strangers, they can do some cool stuff, But it's just, I don't know, it's just not the same for me. Anyway, and look, a bit of a disclaimer for this podcast, mate, is anything I say or I guess talk about is just my opinion. It's not, I don't have that opinion because someone's got a gun to my head right now. It's just, this is just how I feel. This is what works for Fee and I and for us at Red Dust Adventures. But it's just, I'm sharing my opinion and what works for us and what doesn't. So, yeah, watching you guys and just, I don't know, when you know you're a couple and there's that little bit of humour you share, I love it. I'd actually froth it, 100%.
Yeah, and I know exactly what you mean too. Like, for example, everyone knows 4Drive 24/7 and, like, you know, awesome production, really good. It's been around forever. But half the time I'll actually watch that off-grid series with the caravans. And I don't plan on owning a caravan for a long, long time, but I watch it for Graham because he's just such a character. He's so funny, and it's just like, so it's definitely about the people, you know. And then, like I said, there's a lot of, I've said before, there's a lot of videos I watch. It's not my style. It's not how I want to make a video, but it's the people. And, I think that's, and I was talking about that a while ago about a podcast is that Bridget, that, you know, like I said, there's only one of you. On the internet, so it's I guess that's when they say people like be yourself on camera. It's exactly that, you know. There's only one of you on there, and I guess people fall in love with the character that they're watching, and
absolutely. Look, I mean, obviously, you've still got to produce good content, and be of interest. And look, we're finding now, I guess, mate, and as time goes on, and again, we'll go off track here. We don't necessarily have a niche, and obviously, as again, you know, this podcast, my understanding from your point of view, mate, this podcast is about reaching out to the no-namers, such as ourselves, just the small channels, and just having a yarn and how it all works for them and all the rest of it. The reality is, none of us know what we're doing. It's a learning curve for everyone. And we're sort of realising that people probably don't like the quads as much as we enjoy riding them and getting out there and doing it. And I don't know whether that's a new thing to the market or whether people just simply don't like watching quads. But again, we're just going to keep putting quads on our channel because we absolutely, mate, we can't get enough of it. When Faye and I are away, especially when we do the quad trips where it's just the two quads, just can't get enough. We don't want to get off them. You know, like, it's actually, we just want to be on them all day. And again, if people don't want to watch that, that's, you know, mate, that's their prerogative and their choice. I'd be interested to know how different, you know, would people want to watch us more? You know, obviously we've got a big trip coming up in our new 79. And are people more interested in that because it's a 79, there's that cult following, people love it, and we're going to be going to different destinations that we haven't been to before. Are people more interested in that? I'm not sure, mate. Like, I just, again, that comes back to, like I was saying, it's, we follow people and watch people for the people. And obviously their content, mate, if they put out rubbish content, just see ya, I'm done with it. But, I love the people. We've met some really good people through social media and definitely people that give us a bit of a bit of support and ideas and feedback, and we really respect that. And those people, and I'm be doing no name dropping today, but the reality is that those people know who they are, and we respect them, and we certainly support them in return just because of that, like, just genuine good people helping other people out through their journey of YouTube, mate, to be honest.
Yeah, 100%. I think there's a few topics in there that like we said, we're going to go off topic all this podcast. But, 100%, I agree with you. We'll get back on track for a little bit. So we're about to use base now.
So we're in Port Hedland, or South Hedland. Up in the Pilbara in Western Australia.
Yep.
Been here, this is our 8th year here. So time flies. We came here from Mackay with a 3-year plan, we sort of said 3 to 5 year plan, and we bought a house just on 3 years ago now. Don't look like moving anytime soon. But anything can change, you know. Tomorrow could all be a whole new ball game. But yeah, we've been here going into our eighth year, and absolutely love it here, mate. We love the concept of just even the quads, mate. Being able to ride our quads here, that it's not police like down south. The fishing, the fall driving up here, it's not, there's not really a mad mecca fall driving area up here. It's predominantly touring, water holes, beautiful country, free camping, all the stuff we love, because, I mean, our days of doing the real tough tracks essentially are over. In saying that, yeah, we've got a trip that we want to do in the next sort of few years. It was meant that, I mean, we've been planning this trip. I'm not going to drop that name, because it's just sort of, yeah, at the end of the day, if we don't ever do it, we're going to look like tossers. But we've got a big trip that will be sort of epic four-wheel driving. And, yeah, look, I mean, I love it. I still sort of froth that real hard-going four-wheel driving. But we don't do a lot of it anymore. It's predominantly touring and stuff. So Port Hedland for us, mate, love it here. Yeah, like I said, came here for 3 to 5 years, and 8 years later we're still here and going strong. Love it.
Yeah. So is that, did you move over, was that for, if you don't mind me asking, was that for work, or was it more the landscape, or it's
No, so essentially, mate, our stories, I've basically been in mining and construction for, so, you know, over 20 years, and I spent a long time, sort of that roughly 12 to 13 odd years, doing drive-in, drive-out, out of like Mackay and Mount Isa. We spent five odd years out of Mount Isa, and 5 odd years in Mackay, and a couple of years before that on the Sunshine Coast. And I basically didn't see my kids grow up. I was basically working all the time. Fee raised the kids on her own, essentially, and we're a part of, I think, like a bit of a full drive club over there. Well, it was when Ruthie had set up the, what was it called back then? I can't think of the bloody name off the top of my head, but Ruthie had a bit of a movement back in the day, Unlock Australia or whatever it was called.
So some
friends over in Mackay had a bit, sort of started up a bit of a chapter, I guess you'd call it, where we sort of got a group of us together to raise money for Unlock Australia. And, yeah, we sort of become, I guess, like a little mini four-wheel drive club. And we met some fantastic people through there. And one couple we met, Dallas and Kylie, become just really close friends with them. And then Dallas had moved back to Tasmania and became the manager at Pertec in Port Hedland here. And just, you know, like when you're away, on, you know, you're on the piss camping, and I was just yarning at different times saying, God, I'm over being away working. I'm just, you know, I love the money, but it's just, I'm over just not watching the kids grow up and not spending time with the misso. And it's just, yeah, it's pretty shit lifestyle, really. And, yeah, he moved away, and just randomly, I think it was approximately a year or so later, just rang me one day and said, mate, I've got a job offer for you. Moved to the Pilbara, Port Hedland, and drive a service truck doing hydraulics for me. And I was just like, I don't know anything about hydraulics, mate. You know, I'm a scaffolder. And he's like, mate, I'll teach you. Do it. So, and I sort of, obviously everyone knows the Kimberley. I'd heard the name the Pilbara, but I didn't really know anything about the Pilbara, to be honest with you. And I said, look, mate, just throw an offer on the table. I'll go home, I'll yarn the fee, and we'll check it out. So he pretty much had an offer on the table that afternoon. And I was actually away working at the time. And I sent it all through to Fee and said, what's your thoughts? And she said, oh, we've always talked about going to Western Australia. And I think, mate, would have been 2 weeks later, I gave notice to one of the best jobs I've ever had in my life, working with the best bunch of people. The company I worked for was sick, still best mates with the owners and all the boys, like, yeah, loved it. And, 2 weeks later, I gave notice. And I think, I don't know, mate, within 3 months, might not have even been 3 months, I think it was like 2 months later, we were in Port Hedland. And, yeah, we haven't looked back. So, essentially, it was, what the offer was, mate, was do mining, something that I loved, and the money was still going to be there. but I had the opportunity to be home every night and watching the kids grow up, and that was key. So we moved over here, and I've basically, outside of the COVID period, I spent a lot of time inland in the Pilbara during the COVID period, because we lost a lot of work here during that period. But essentially, mate, like, I've worked and come home every night. I do my 12, 14-hour shifts, and I come home, and I'm here with my family, and, yeah, it's sick. Like, I wouldn't do it any other way now. I definitely wouldn't do FIFO, drive-in, drive-out or anything. That's just, yeah, to be able to do what I know and what I love, earn the coin for it, and be home with your family, and be, like, yeah, sort of when we got to the Pilbara, it was, wow, this is actually more beautiful than what we thought. Mate, it's hot, like, don't get me wrong, the Pilbara's hot, and it's not for everyone. It's definitely, I say to people all the time, mate, living in the Pilbara and, you know, where we are, it's not one of those places where you'd say, yeah, it's not bad. It's like you either love it or you hate it, like, in my opinion. That's just my opinion. But, and we love it. Like, the heat gets old sometimes. And I think I've said to you before, mate, like, I love having those days off and being able to just get out there and work on the car or the garden or whatever. But you tend to do a fair bit of, yeah, a fair bit of sweating during the day, and then you sort of wait until a bit in the afternoon and then really crank it up, and then all of a sudden you find yourself at 10, 11 o'clock at night, and you're balls deep in your jobs because it's cool and it's the perfect temperature if you're doing work. So, yeah, it's a different lifestyle, mate. It's harsh. It can be tough, I reckon. And that, yeah, again, some people sort of don't see it as being that hot. Some people reckon it's ridiculous. And, yeah, we love it. We love it. We don't like the cold, mate. We've gone back to Melbourne a couple of times to see family, and outside of just sort of going to miss the family when we leave, we can't wait to get out of there. Hate it.
Like you said about the Pilbara, it's like you get the beauty of it. It's absolutely. I've obviously flown up there for work a few times, and then I have done a little bit of travelling up there. Very, very minimal, very quick. But, yeah, it's sort of like you get the beauty, but you might have to put up with a few things like the heat and the flies and stuff like that. But like I say, it's, 100%. You know, a bit of give and take, and, you know, that's what people like. But
yeah.
Next question sort of follows on to that is you've moved up to the Pilbara.
Yeah.
And where did Red Dust Adventures start? Was that before the move, or was that during the move? And how did you sort of transition into YouTube? Obviously, you're already doing the travelling and sort of stuff.
So, a bit of a story behind the Red Dust Adventures. So, I think it was in about 2006. So, back those days, there was your Alcool forums, which was your Land Cruiser online sort of forums where anything Land Cruiser, you could just get on that forum. And just forums were big back then, like social media. You know, like your Instagrams and Facebook, they might have been around. I certainly didn't know anything about social media back then, but I knew about forums. And back then there was Full Drive, I don't know whether it was Full Drive Monthly, it might have been Full Drive Action forums and all these different forums. So I started, we were building our old Hilux that I use for work now, planning a trip to go to Cape York, and had our old Hilux, and I jumped on the Alcool forum, and you needed an avatar or name or whatever they call it. And I just said to Fee one night, like, what do I bloody call myself? Like, you know, all these people have got these strange and weird names. And I don't know, we'd spoken so many times about living in Mount Isa, how much we love the Red Dust. And Fee just said, why don't you just call yourself Red Dust? And I said, oh, I could just call myself Red Dust Lux. And she goes, yeah, sick. So I did. I got on. So I think, like I said, that was about 2006 or 2008, around that period. And then so I called myself Red Dust Lux. And then about two months later, we actually decided to buy our first ever 105 series. And then I become Red Dust Landy on that same forum. And then we bought a Stacer boat, and I become Red Dust Stacer. And it just stuck. We just become Red Dust. And then... I guess we discovered Facebook, and we thought, oh, you know, how cool would it be? YouTube was never a thing back then for us. Like, it was just not something we thought about. And then we just discussed one day about all our family living in Melbourne. They all wanted to know what we were doing because we were so far away from everyone, and we were just, you know, we'd speak to Fee's mum on the phone. We'll say, we're off doing this and we're doing that. And, you know, she just said one day, like, I'd love to see what yous are doing. And I sort of, you know, yourself, trying to send little videos through on the phone and all that, it was just wasn't happening. So we decided to make a Facebook page where we could just put little videos on there so our family all down in Melbourne could watch them and see what we're doing, you know, all over different parts of Australia. And we came up with the name Red Dust Family Adventures. And we were Red Dust Family Adventures for years on Facebook. And, you know, we had fishing shirts made up back then and just different stuff like, and you know, stickers, exactly what we're doing now, but it was Red Dust Family Adventures. Done that for quite a few years, but we weren't, I don't know, mate, it was pretty low-key, and it was essentially all about our family in Victoria being able to watch our adventures. And then it's only just recently, I don't know, mate, maybe 2 years ago or 3 years ago or whatever, maybe even longer, the kids decided they were teenagers now. Mum and dad were too old and weren't cool anymore to go camping with. They wanted to just hang with their mates. So Fee and I just started doing a bit more, you know, adventures on our own. Took the back seat out of their new 105, and it became just Fee and I on our own. And we wanted to streamline the name, I guess, to a certain extent, to make it not so much of a mouthful. And so we just turned ourselves into Red Dust Adventures. It'll always essentially be Red Dust Family Adventures because, I mean, our kids now, we just did a trip on the other weekend with our kids and, God, it was good to hang out with them again. So it'll always, you know, in the background be Red Dust Family Adventures. Our kids are everything to us. Family first is one of our biggest mottos in life. And, but, yeah, again, that's where Red Dust Adventures come from. We needed a name and, yeah, that's what we come up with. So...
I think the brand Red Dust Adventures for anyone now is as well, that's family, like it's a very family, feels like a very family channel. So is that, did the Facebook sort of videos just transition into filming YouTube? Because obviously it's a lot more work than just the old phone video, you know.
Yeah, so, again, that was a two-part question, and I've only just answered one, but I'm not. But I'll get back to it. So the YouTube thing was, I discovered YouTube and I watched it and I was watching people and I loved it. And I remember saying to Fee, I don't know, maybe 5-8 years ago, what I think, probably when we moved over here and hit the Pilbara, I just remember saying to Fee one day, I'm going to start a YouTube channel one day. Like, and she's like, yeah, bugger that. Like, you know, I don't really want to be on camera and all that. And a lot of the time, mate, like right from the start, Fee never wanted to be on camera. Fee was always happy to, I guess, just do the filming. And, I mean, people who know me well enough know that I probably love the sound of my own voice sometimes. So for me, it wasn't... It wasn't a big thing to jump in front of the camera and just talk shit. So I loved it. And I guess, I don't know whether I'm a strange character or I'm probably just too honest sometimes, but I don't mind. I actually enjoy watching myself on videos and just watching how I go about it. And I guess it's a bit of a learning thing for me. And just the adventures that I have with my family and friends that I'm a part of that. So it was like, I just want to do a channel. I don't know whether it was all about watching myself and just, well, I don't want to watch any other channels, I just want to watch me. It was about, I love watching other people do their thing, and it's so cool to watch them just out there doing it. And it was people like, and again, plenty of other people would say the same thing as me. It was, you know, back in the day, watching Malcolm Douglas, Jack Absalom, you know, the Bush Tucker man, you know, Liz Hidden. And then even just later on in life watching Steve Irwin, mate, because the kids just love Steve Irwin and Bindi when she was a kid, and watching that, just getting out there, and I loved it. Like, I just thought, I just want to do that. And look, there was a bit of a draw over, and probably unnoticed, sort of a bit of a push or a drive from my mum and stepdad. I remember saying at one stage in my life, you know, in the last 10 years, oh, you know, I'd love to get out of mine and I just wish I'd win Tats Lotto like everyone says. And, you know, what would I do with my time? And my parents have always said, you're just a natural talker. Like, you know, I wish you've had a got into, like, tour guide work or something when you were younger, because you would just, you know, people would just be in awe because you're just flat out talking. You're full on and you love it and you're that passionate. And, I mean, a lot of people that know me, one of the words that they use for me is passion, and because I am, mate, I'm passionate. Like, once I sort of chew into something, I have a good chew at it. Like, I really get passionate and get involved in it. And, yeah, so I think they sort of drove that into me a little bit. Like, I'm never going to be a tour guide, but just maybe get on camera, you know, spin a yarn, show people what you know, where we are and what we're doing. And I guess then it turned into, let's just showcase the Pilbara, let's do a YouTube channel and see where it goes. So it predominantly started just trying to feed our adventures back to our family and our friends. And then just, I don't know, I guess it grows, mate, like most people, it grows to where this is good fun. And everyone else is doing YouTube and we're loving watching it. Why wouldn't we be a part of it and have a crack? And if it gets to the point where we stop having fun and it's hard work, we pull the pin on and we just keep going and having fun. But right now, absolutely loving YouTube. Again, I did say to you the other week, mate, when we were yarning on one of our big yarns, I was fucking real close to just saying, I can't do this a month ago, because whole social media, the whole YouTube, you know, we do big hours, we get limited time off, and then, you know, like Fee and I, we go, you know, recently did the Kimberley trip, and yeah, to come back, and then it takes like 9 years to edit it for us. We come home after a 14-hour shift, mate, and the last thing I want to do is get on the computer, and because we're only learning, we're not streamlining how we do our editing and stuff. We're working too hard, and we're doing everything the hard way. So then you come home, we might edit for 15 minutes and just go, I'm done. Like, I'm not doing it tonight. So, yeah, I'm not someone to quit. I'm certainly not going to quit. But I was, and I think we'll probably talk about that as we go forward. But the whole, the fakeness, the disloyal people within the industry.
Yeah,
that rolls on. I started to get a bit over it.
The delay, I keep talking over you. that sort of goes perfectly in the next question. I think it's really cool. I was actually watching that. Oh, you recommended to watch their video. I forgot their name. Sarah and someone. What's the name?
Sarah and Keelan.
On that video, they were saying about that's how they started, just trying to share their memories and all that sort of stuff. And I think it's, definitely with YouTube. Pat is on the back for how he's do all that work after work, because when I'm working, I can't edit. I can't get in the space to edit like after work. I have to sit there for a whole day and sort of, that's one thing I really struggle with. Like if I didn't have the roster I sort of do, I'd really struggle, I think. So it's big pat on the back for you. But yeah, it sort of goes straight into what I want to talk about next, is sort of like YouTube as a whole. It's a fucking, it's an aggressive industry. Like, if you don't have your head in the right spot, I've not been the same lately. Sort of like, I've been talking about views and, you know, you bust your ass, you spend hours, you know, you ruin, sometimes potentially ruin your trip compared to how much you would enjoy it. And to film and, you know, so I like to try and get up at like 4 or 5 in the morning sometimes to get a sunrise shot that you might not even use, and whatever it is, you know, you guys, like, you just want to fish, you could just be fishing, but you're setting up cameras and mics, and so you put a lot of fucking effort into it, as anyone would know that does YouTube. And then, yeah, like, you don't get the views, or you get someone that messages you and or comments, you know, this is shit or fucking whatever it is. And sort of like, what's your take on YouTube now? Obviously, it's evolved a lot from when it started, but I don't know, I feel like it's like the whole thing, sponsors, the fakeness of people. I mean, I don't want to say YouTube's a terrible thing, but there's obviously the big terrible side to it of, you know, all the bullshit that comes with it, you know, and for the effort that you put into it.
So, again, just a bit of a disclaimer on that, that to be honest with you, mate, I only just share my, this is just my opinion and just how I, my take on it. And I just, we're not professionals. We're a baby channel. We're growing really slow. So I don't really have, I guess, the qualifications to say too much apart from just our experience. And what I'd say is we love the concept. It's a very flooded market. I think everyone's trying to achieve, you know, videos, having fun, all the rest of it. And I know I've said this 1,000 times, mate. We've had plenty of people say to us, if you're watching it for views and subs and likes, you're doing it for the wrong reason. It should be just fun. You're having fun. Do your videos. And if that's not enough for you, give it up because you're doing it for the wrong reason. And I tend to disagree with that, mate, because why I say that is you put the effort in, ultimately you start a YouTube channel to make videos and have fun and, I guess, put a timeline back onto YouTube that your kids and their kids and the rest of the world can watch forever. That's the ultimate goal. Being able to look back on it later on and sit down with the kids when we're 80 and go, oh, yeah, well, back in the day, this is what we did. You know, that's the ultimate goal.
Yeah.
But the reality is I'll be surprised if I'm not the same as everyone else, that if you make a video and you make a good video and you spend all that time running cameras, like you said, lose a bit of the joy of just going away and camping and just having time out, because it certainly doesn't become time out sometimes. It becomes fucking hard work. So to lose that and then come home, do it all, put up a great video and you look at it and you watch it back and you think, fucking love it. It's sick. I really enjoyed watching that myself. And then no one likes it or you get negative feedback from it. Yeah, mate, it's actually hurtful. And to be honest with you, if we put up a video and we see people liking it and see people interacting with it and see people commenting, mate, I think I speak for myself. I fucking love it. Like, it's such an endorphin filler. I don't know what you call it. Like, it's a bit of a rush, mate. I actually do, you know, I do. I love it. I'm proud of myself. I'm proud of my wife. I'm proud of what we've put together. And if other people are enjoying that, yeah, that does. It fills a bit of a void in your heart where you think, oh, fuck, that's cool. So if other people aren't feeling that, I don't know, maybe I'm strange, mate. Maybe I'm one of the only people. And again, I don't sit there and think, oh, God, we've only got that many views, we must be shit or whatever. You have your moments, and I think everyone does. But the reality is, if you're doing YouTube and you're spending all that time running videos and making sure your audio is right and you're running back and forwards and all the rest of it, and no one's watching it, no one likes it, it's only for yourself, yeah, I think you're fucking lying to yourself. But that's my opinion. And I'll get potentially get shot down on this.
Wrong with that. It's like, that statement is true to an extent. If you're only doing it for views, as in, I think, I personally interpret that as, if you're doing that to be famous, if you're doing YouTube to be famous and get rich and all that sort of shit, well, fucking stiff luck. You know, it's not going to happen. People see right through it, as we've seen with so many different channels before. It's all that effort you put in. I totally agree with you as well, like that effort you put in. And then, how do you explain it? Like, you want to be growing as a channel. You want to be sharing your story. You want to reach people. You want to reach your niche of people. Like you said before, you do the quad bikes. It's different. You're not a four-wheel drive action niche, you know. It's
yeah,
you know, I'm old cars. It's not, you know, 79 series owners aren't going to watch an old car trying to putt up this hill, you know. It's totally different. And each, I think that's a big thing with channels, is trying to get your niche. What are you? What is your channel, you know? And like me personally, it's, I want to inspire people to get out there with whatever car you got. You don't need fancy gear. A lot of the channels are flooded with, oh, you need to have a brand new car, you know, a brand new caravan, you need a 500 grand setup to be able to go traveling. It's like bullshit, you know. And that niche has their place. Yeah. Like, you know, there's some awesome channels that do it. And if you're in the position to do that, that is perfect. Like, there's nothing against me saying, like, people doing that. But I guess it's these people that sit there, oh, I can't go to the beach until I've got this big lift kit from such and such, and going back to that, you bust so much time into doing it, and it's, like I said, it's not about the fame thing at all. It's about, you know, am I doing the right thing? Have I edited it right? Have I done the videos right? Is it, you know, like, am I just wasting my fucking time? Or it's, it's painful. And I was the other week, I was the same. I was like, you know, put a really good video, and I guess I'll do it every time too. I'll put out a video, I think it's decent, and then I always look back on it like a month later. I'm like, I could have done that better. But it's the whole journey of learning, I think, too, is it's, you know, you might think you're good at the time, and each video, I've said it before, is each video trying to improve something, and you just naturally get better without even realizing it, you know, all the experience. And like I said the other week, I was just like, why am I doing this? Why am I bothering it? And then, you know, I just started a podcast as well to top it off, you know. But
why wouldn't you, mate? 100%. And I think that's the thing, though, is, again, you definitely, like, I guess probably our biggest driving force is, one, getting our adventures to our family. But I think, too, I mean, we have a lot of people, I guess, I don't know, we've had a couple of cheeky comments, and I know some people throw a bit of flack our way, and it's all in jest and that, but we've had a few comments or, like, private messages and stuff from people, I guess, suggesting that we're too old to be riding around on quad bikes and enjoying life like 21-year-olds, and it's just like, what the fuck? Like, we're 50 years of age, mate. We're not 80. Like, I just don't. So for me, that's a bit of a, I don't know, it inspires us a little bit more just to say, well, do you know what? To all you 50-year-olds out there, and we'd love to know that when we're 70, we're still doing this. But all, like, you 50-year-old old people, like, fucking old at 50, holy shit, man, we've got another 20 years to work, so I hope I'm not too old. We just sort of want to say to people, like, you're never too old to get out there. And mate, we're just a couple of old dinosaurs, husband and wife, best mates, just loving life, like, doing what we love. We live and breathe, and we're putting it on camera for people to see. The driving force is making good videos, and we want people to watch it. And so I guess as time's grown, mate, and when I go back to, like, you know, your Malcolm Douglas and that, Malcolm Douglas wasn't making videos for his family. He was making them as an educational video. We're not necessarily ever going to be an educational video, but if there's something you can take out of our videos, well, perfect example, how not to throw a cast net. Watch our videos, mate. I'll fucking show you how not to throw a cast net. Just all simple shit like that. Like, if you want to catch barra, just watch my channel and do everything opposite to me, and you'll fucking probably catch one. But there's something to come out of our...
I love that video so much too. Is like, it's so, like, I've listened to podcasts and videos before, and how they edit everything out, and fuck, bro, it's just so real. Watching your channel, it's just like, here's my fuck up. This is us. This is our adventures. This is what really fucking happens. I might throw me fucking cast net in the water and you're trying to, but it was just like, sort of like how you guys with the swearing with the YouTube as well. It's, you guys just want it raw. It's fucking news. Like, it's, and I love it about it. You know, you guys might not necessarily spend fucking, you know, all this time doing a fancy production and fancy this and fancy that, and it's just fucking used. I love it. I love it. Yeah. How the style, and I think it's kind of the rubbish truck in the background for a minute. But yeah, it's just I really dig that. Like, it, and like what you said with the, well, like people calling you old and all that sort of stuff, and I was like, well, there's probably fucking how many people out there doing the same thing. They just might not have a camera in their hands. I mean, there's plenty of, you look at how many people are traveling these days, and you know, the majority might have just a caravan, but there's fucking a lot of them you see with like motorbikes and bits and pieces on the back, and you know, they're fucking enjoying their life, and so you should. You live once, don't you? And with the hateful stuff too, I've lately been struggling with it. I always thought I wouldn't care with, you know, especially when you have like family members talk shit about you, and you know, why are you bothering? You're never going to be famous. And I was like, well, first, I'm not doing it to be fucking famous. I just enjoy doing it. But it's just like, I don't know. Yeah. Lately, I've just been like feeding off it. Like, I want people to give me hateful comments because it's like, well, fuck you. I'm going to do it just to prove you wrong, because I'll bust my hole just to put it in front of you. Be like, see, fuck you. I don't know. It's just personally me. But yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And look, mate, I just was. I've just pulled the back seat out of the 79. I'm putting a false floor in. And yesterday, I just had my headphones on. I get in my own zone, and I was listening to Wacker, Pete from Wacker. He's just Everyman Chats podcast that he's done with his brother. I actually got emotional a couple of times, mate. I'm by nature, mate. I'm a bit of a fucking sook. Like, I sort of rate myself as I can handle myself, a bit of a tough bloke and that. But yeah, when it sort of push comes to shove. Yeah, man, I'll get emotional over shit pretty quick when it's sort of personal. And yeah, just to watch some of the memories that him and his brother were talking about and different things. And yeah, I watched that, and there's a couple of topics that they bring up. It does resonate that it's not about keeping people happy. You're not going to keep everyone happy. And that, you know, like Pete, for example, said about he got given the same spiel, you know, like, what are you fucking doing it for, mate? Like, you're not going to be famous, you're never going to be rich out of it, you know. And like the brother that he was interviewing on the podcast was his biggest supporter. Said, like, fucking do it, mate, love it, you know. Like, it was a massive support network for him. And at the end of the video, mate, you know, he basically says, oh, fuck, I'm going to get emotional again now. Like, you just keep going, mate. Like, look where you've come from. You know, like, you're just doing a few videos, and pretty much a lot of people around him were just saying, like, what a fucking flog. Like, look at you out there with a camera running around. Like, what are you fucking hoping, mate? You're going to be a millionaire out of it. And I don't think it was ever like that for any of us. I don't think anyone gets into it thinking you're going to be a millionaire. And if you do, I mean, I remember watching, again, you know, Wacker's podcast with Matty Field from Field Days. And, that, mate, he went into it not to be a millionaire, but he, on that podcast, he says, I wanted 1 million subscribers and I wasn't going to stop until I had it. And he's done it. And he's, ultimately, his goal was to do what he loved to do, but make it a living. Never have to work for a boss ever again. And never have to go and do shit work just to pay his bills. Mate, so admirable. Like, if I'd love to do it too, mate, but I'm not in a position where I can just say, fuck it, I'm just going to go full bottle at this. Mate, we've got a mortgage, we've got bills, like everyone else, and now we've just got a second mortgage because we just bought a fucking 79, the most overpriced vehicle in the world's history. So at the end of the day, we would have loved to have done that when we were young and had a crack, but we didn't, and our life is what it is now. But I admire people, whether it be, you know, people that say I want 1 million subscribers, or people that just say I want a little channel and it grows naturally and organically, fuck, I take my hat off to them. And where, you know, from where Wacker's gone from a couple of little videos, and he's quite successful through YouTube, and his podcast is fucking killing it. And, man, I just, yeah, again, you know, he's raising a family, he's got his own business, or, you know, with his dad. And, man, it's meant. Like, I just, again, it's not for everyone, and we're not all in it for the same thing, but we're all sort of on a similar path. And I guess that comes down to when we were talking about before, You know, people not being loyal and people being full of shit, like, that's getting old real quick for me. Because, I know, loyalty and being genuine, to me, is everything. I'm not a fan of people, because we've had a couple of people, I guess, mate, and again, you know, I'm not here to drop names and shit. They would know who they are. And if they don't, you know, it proves the fact that they are, you know, not genuine people. I could say something else now, I won't. But the reality is we've had a few people that have sort of reached out to us. I guess, I don't know, we've sort of been a bit like, why would you want to team up with us? And because we're fucking nobodies. Like, we're just a couple of old dinosaurs just having a bit of a crack. But then I think they've, you know, we've done a little bit of, you know, I'll scratch your back, you scratch my back sort of thing. And then they've realised that we are fucking nobodies. And they're like, fuck. So you're nobodies. Mm. And then you watch those same people jump onto the next channel or the next Insta page or, and they just, and they're all of a sudden they're teaming up with them and then they're teaming up with them. And it's like, fucking seriously? Like, this, you can see their driving force is very different to ours. Like, it's not about enjoying life. It's not about sharing your experiences. It's about, I am going to fucking go for the jugular in every situation and I'm going to rape and pillage this industry until there is nothing left to rape and pillage. And if I get famous out of it, I'll get famous out of it, but that's my goal. And you know, I think they're the people I personally think are in it for the wrong reasons. Mate, and I've said this time and time again, we know, or we're confident that we will never be famous. We'll never be making a living out of it. If tomorrow, I don't know, someone big came in and approached us and said, we've got this idea. We just love you two dinosaurs. Let's just go big. We're going to back you 100%. Fuck, I'm going to have a crack at that. I would have said 6-12 months ago I wouldn't. Not interested. But if we could make this a living, would we do it? In a fucking heartbeat. In an absolute heartbeat. Would I drive around in my 79 series in the Kimberley towing two quad bikes and fishing for barra for a living? Fuck. 100%. 1,000,000%. I'd be lying if I said that, nah, mate, it's not, nah, we're just doing it for fun. Fuck, mate, if I could do it for a living, I would sign me up. Sign me up tomorrow. I'm done. I'm there. Where do you want me? Because isn't that everyone's dream? Isn't, you know, we talk about it all the time with young fellas at work or just even to our own children. You know, it's not about money. It's not about fame. It's not about anything. Just get a job that you enjoy to go to. If you can earn 50 grand and go and enjoy your job every day, or go and earn 100 grand and, I mean, money's important in your life. Make no mistake about it. That's a driving force in everyone's life. But to go to work and hate it and come home just shattered with your own, like, life, fuck that. You know, like, just get a job that you love. So riding quad bikes, fishing for barra, and that's no catching, just fishing, and driving four-wheel drives in the beautiful country that we're living. 100%, mate. That's what I love. That's what the wife loves. And if we could do it for a living, we'd 100% do it for a living. I think I got off track again, but that's what I do. But that's the reality, mate.
Spot on.
That's why. There was something else I was gonna. There was something else I was gonna add there, but I can't remember. But yeah, look, I mean, ultimately. Learning off other people and watching other people grow is also exciting too, mate. I love to watch other people grow. But I want, again, you know, I know just recently watching some stuff unfold with people buying subs and the controversy behind it. I don't get it. Fee and I have discussed, you know, is there different ways that you can grow the channel organically, but you know, whether it be just, you know, buying an app that, you know, teaches you stuff rather than just doing everything the hard way, is that cheating? I don't think so, mate. Like, if there's apps out there that can I guess teach you, you know, how to do a thumbnail that's actually going to be catchy and help your channel grow, I don't think that's cheating. I think that's smart. I don't know, that's what business is, you know, like you you surround yourself with good people, smart people, and you grow. If you think you know it all and you keep, like, there's a saying, mate, where if you're doing something repetitively and it's going pear-shaped, thinking you're going to keep doing it and get another result, like, there's a particular saying, but if you keep doing the same thing, you're going to keep getting the same result. So if you're making videos and I guess you're not enjoying watching it, and you just made a point before, mate, you can look back on your videos a month later and go, fuck, I could have done that better, I could have done that better. Mm. Again, you know, watching Sarah and Keelan's video the other day, or last week or whatever it was, where they spoke about the whole YouTube journey, and they said, like, you know, they look back on the videos that they were first making, and I think Keelan said, they're fucking cringeworthy, like, they're rubbish. So you grow. I mean, and we're still at that point. I wouldn't say our videos are complete rubbish, but they're certainly a long way off where we would like to have them. And I guess we're still, like everyone, mate, we're still learning. I don't even know. And I think I said to you on our last chat the other night, mate, about there's a part of, you know, trying to build a style, and what is our style, and how do you build a style, and how do you know what your style is? To a certain extent, there's a part of our videos when the camera's just sitting there and we're just down there fishing. I watched it the other night, and, you know, before we uploaded, and I said to Fee, it's like watching one of those old VHS fucking videos, an old home video that you've watched, you know, when you were kids, of your parents when they were kids. But there's a part of that to me, it's not new age, it's not up to where probably a lot of people would want their videos to be, but there's something about it that just resonates with me, and I absolutely love it. Other people might look at it and use the word cringeworthy and, fuck, have a look at this. Like, these dinosaurs are putting out dinosaur videos. And maybe we are, mate, but I don't know. There's a part of it that I enjoy watching that style from other people, where it's, I guess, just the camera's rolling and people are just going about their business. It's like, oh, I like it. So I'm not sure yet what our style is or what it's going to turn out to be. And again, mate, there was something else. That's what I was going to touch on. And maybe that's one of your questions. I don't know. So maybe I should wait. But I was sort of going to mention, you know, like, I set a target for myself. And someone said this to me the other day, and I agreed with them. So it was never about being famous, no matter what we do. But I sort of said, when I started Facebook, I just said, I want 1,000 followers. And I do that personally for me, not for any other reason than it keeps me, I guess, stimulated, motivated, just to keep, I guess, you know, not being lazy. And Facebook, again, I'm sort of off Facebook, it's just a personal thing now to get on a few sites or whatever. But Instagram, I love putting photos up, and it generates other like-minded people to put their photos up and all their little videos or whatever. And, man, I love seeing what other people are doing and how their setups are and, you know, how they're going, just watching other people be happy. It's fucking really cool, to be honest. So I sort of set that target of 1,000 followers. I don't know what that is, man. I don't know why it's in my head to do that, but that's essentially with the YouTube channel. That's essentially what I've done. If we never get to 1,000 followers, we're going to keep making videos until we've had enough. And whether that be a year, 5 years, or when we're 70, if we're still out there making videos, I'll be pretty fucking proud of myself, to be honest. Anyway. But it's that whole, we just set ourselves a, let's try for 1,000 subscribers. Just as a target to keep us motivated. So those days when we come home after a 14-hour shift and it's like, oh, you know, algorithms, they fuck, the word's even hard to say, let alone try and process and understand it. But it's, you know, some days I don't want to do videos, I just can't be bothered. But there's part of that, you know, and you and I spoke about this, you know, on my wall, and I think some other people would do it. You know, I've got my whiteboard there with all my little motivational speeches that I give myself, or just, yeah, things that sort of drive me. So if I'm having a shit day and I come home and I can't be bothered, and please don't, I'm not talking here like I'm fucking big time, because we're not. But you don't get big time without just that consistency and just working hard at it and growing. So like one of the words that I use up there is, or one of the sayings is, just stay consistent. And we come home, mate, and know that algorithm needs me to be putting videos out more, and we don't.